Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Your spirit revives. Your spirit reveals you to us. Our souls now thirst for our great God. Lord, we stand ready for your word. Oh, shine your light and truth, and we'll rise up to you. Lord, we pass. Unto your word we have come. Lord, we've come. Lord, by your spirit you've drawn us to you. Lord, we've come with our hearts open wide to you. Speak your word. Let Jesus be glorified. Lord, we've come.
Lord, we've come.
Unto your word.
Unto your word we have come.
Lord, we've come tonight, Lord.
Lord, we've come.
Lord, by your spirit.
Lord, by your spirit you draw us
to you. Lord, we've come. With our hearts open wide to you. Hey,
speak your word. Let Jesus be glorified.
Thank you, Father. Lord, we thank you for your presence and we give you praise. Thank you, choir. You can be seated. Let's try to see what we can do. Your spirit's alive, he's living and breathing in our hearts. Your word is a sword, revealing the intent of our hearts. We bow our hearts before your word, as it's revealed within your word. Flow, river, flow, cleanse deep. We lift up our. Lord, we've come. Unto your word we have come. Lord, we've come. Lord, by your spirit you've drawn us to you. Lord, we'd our hearts open wide to you. Speak your word, Jesus, yeah. Let Jesus be glorified. Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you. So we'll be talking and somehow we'll find a balance. The ministry can never be better than the man of God's walk with God. That is why sometimes you see we come here and maybe getting a topic is quite difficult for me, my style of delivering the word, because I like to extend whatever the Lord is doing to you all. So a lot of times it's more like a continuation of life. It's not like coming to do some sort of exercise, you know. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Yes, sir. Let's see from Matthew 16. 16 down to 18. So we'll stay from verse 16. I've never seen it in the TPT rendition. It said, Simon Peter spoke and said, "You are the anointed one, the Son of the living God." Now, Jesus had asked a question, isn't it? What was the question? He said, "Who do men say that I am?" Hallelujah to Jesus. And one of the 12, or a few of them, were answering for other people. They said that you are so, so and so. And Jesus said, "How about you? What do you think of me? Who do you say that I am?" And they were saying the same thing too. That you are one of the prophets, only for who to stand up and give the right answer. Who was that? Peter. Peter the apostle, who God made the head of the church. The Bible says, Simon Peter spoke up and said, "You are the anointed one, the Son of what? The living God." Now, there's no way Simon Peter would have known this, except that he was a very, you know, somehow, if you look at it critically, service is beautiful. Service to God. Because you see, how did Peter get to know this answer? The Bible said on the Mount of Transfiguration, something happened. Isn't it? Hallelujah to Jesus. You know, one time someone asked me, he said, "Pastor, but this scripture in some of the synoptic, you know, the synoptic is Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So if you check them, you don't see them in the same order in all of them. I think in Matthew, it should be in Matthew's rendition. The story is not, you know, in bit by bit. Like, you know, for instance, if you want to get into this church now, you must pass through Sheraton Gate. You know, some people are feeling like when you read the Bible, this happened. You know, according to if there was chapter 1 before chapter 2, that means something, what happened in chapter 1 should have happened before what happened in chapter 2 should happen. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? Like, for instance, if we read this part of scripture here, if you are going further, then this one should have happened before the one we see further. Do you guys get what I'm trying to explain? But it's not exactly like that. All right? It's not what? Exactly like that. It's the truth. At some point in scriptures, it is like that. At some point, it's not like that. Because the people are actually trying to write their own account. So you can't tell them to write it as it happened bit by bit. Do you get what I'm trying to explain to you? It doesn't make sense. That is why, if you look at it now, you see that the transfiguration in one or two of them, I'm not so sure if it's Matthew or Luke, transfiguration happened before this. All right, I think in Matthew, if you go to 17, you start seeing transfiguration. I'm not so sure. Amen? So you'll be wondering how, now, you'll be wondering if I, for instance, tell you that Peter got this answer on the Mount of Transfiguration, you'll be wondering, but this was answered before the story of Transfiguration. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? Of course, the answer is true. Peter got this answer where? At the Mount of what? Transfiguration. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? Now, Jesus, and I was speaking about service, that service is beautiful. You know why service is beautiful according to this story? Is that Peter was serving Jesus so critically, right? And while all of them were asleep, he felt like Jesus still needs some things. As long as Jesus was not gone, he felt like he should not go too. You know, Jesus was not sleeping, he felt like he should not sleep. He was that very close in service, very dedicated to service. And that's why service is beautiful. If you look at scriptures very closely, people that serve deeper become the next leaders. God chooses them next. Look at it carefully. Moses and Joshua. Can you remember? Elijah and Elisha. It is not, especially with Elisha's case, Elisha was not the best prophet in the school of prophets. There were a lot of prophets, all right, that had a lot of information. They were good upstairs. But Elisha was working very close. He was serving very close. And he was even being mocked. Remember the story. He was serving Elijah till the other prophets felt like he was doing too much. And they started mocking him. Now, who received a double portion of the anointing? Elisha. I hope you get what I'm trying to say. Not because he was the best in terms of intellectual, but because his heart was right with God. And it takes a lot of humility to be able to serve. Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but I came to what? The master even teaches us that part of humility. Service. If you look at Joshua and Moses, the same thing. Closely, if you look at the scriptures in the story, you see how that Joshua will be the last person to leave Moses. He's waiting, a pastor friend will say, he's waiting for the final instruction. Except Moses will sleep, Joshua will not move. Now, it was God that suggested that Joshua becomes the next leader. Are you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. Glory to God forevermore. And if you keep on reading, a lot of illustration, we can go on and on and on. That is why service is not for weak people, it is for strong people. Humility is not for weak people, it's for what? Strong people. The proof that you are strong in God is how much humble you can become. Are we together? So Peter was a man full of service. He was serving Jesus, a Savior, so well that when, and I mean, the major point I wanted to hit is this. Joshua and Elisha didn't need to be too good intellectually before they were choosing. Because God is more concerned of the heart than what you have upstairs. Paul speaking to Timothy, that's another example, Paul and Timothy. But now, Paul speaking to Timothy, he said, select faithful. The word he used there firstly was what? Faithful. He said, Timothy should select faithful before he used another word, who can be able to represent the gospel. So, the first criteria is that they are faithful. They can serve God faithfully. Are we together? Somebody may not know anything, but if he's serving God faithfully, he will know better than people that thought they knew. With time. I get what I'm trying to say. That's why service is not for the weak. Service is not for the weak. Very important. That is why you find out. Listen, practical example. That sometimes there can be people in church who have stayed for like 10 years. Others come and they become far better than them. Because these ones in church for like 10 years, they've not really poured out their heart to God. They've not really subjected their heart to the Lord. And even in service, you can still be calling them for departmental meeting and begging them to come to church. Why the other ones just come in less than 2 years? You see them pouring out their heart to God. You know, they are serving God. And before you know, they catch the vision, catch the spirit, have more use. God can even use them better than people that have been in church for 10 years. Very, 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 very true. You know, there are some people that have been around. It's not like they are members. They've just been around. And God doesn't want you to just be around. He wants you to be planted. Are we together? Very important. Are you here? So, the rest of them were sleeping, but Peter was awake. Then he saw the encounter. And Jesus gave an open check to that encounter. He says, some of you standing here will not die until you see the kingdom. He gave an open invitation. Although some of them still slept. They were alive. They were not dead. But they were sleeping when it happened. The only person that saw and called other two people to see was Peter. He now called James and what? And they witnessed it. In his glory. In the power of his kingdom. Transfigured before. Beside him were who? Elijah and what? The two greatest guys of Israel. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. And the Bible said, God said, these are my son, T-H-E-S-E. Is that what God said? What did God say? This, T-H-I-S. He said, this is my son. In whom I'm what? And what did he say at the end? Listen to him. Did he say listen to them? What did he say? Listen to you. You know, when we start speaking like this, some people will think we'll have problem with Moses and Elijah. We don't have problem with them. we're actually respecting God's thoughts, God's ideology. He said we should listen to him. He didn't say them. Alright? Does it mean that they are devils? No. There was a time that the law was existing as a valid system. But when Christ came, the Bible said Christ is the end of the law. Are we together? Very important. See, for instance, Hebrews 1, verse 1. We saw it in the TPT. Let's see it again before we rush back here. One, two, go, everybody. Throughout history, God has what? Can we read again? One, two, go. Very, very easy to understand. It said throughout our history, God what? Has spoken to our ancestors, fathers of faith, isn't it? By his what? Prophets in many different ways. Alright? Okay, let me say it well. He spoke to people in the Old Testament. Do you understand? By prophets. In what? Many different ways. It was not elaborate. It was not clear. Let me put it like that. Are we together? For instance, he spoke to them. You know, the Bible speaking, Jesus in Matthew, is it 11:11 or 16:16? I think Matthew 11:11, thereabout. It said, seeing they never saw, and hearing they never what? Understood. So he spoke to them how? In parables. Now, everybody know parables, yeah, isn't it? Else you go home, want to go. What are parables? They are what? Let me look at everybody's mouths. Say it again, want to go. What are parables? Okay. You all pass CRS. Amen. Parables are what? Earthly stories that carry what? Heavenly meaning. Are we together? For instance, you will observe that Jesus spoke, should I say, in a parabolic way. I'm just scared that the English people will not say I made a mistake. Somewhere in John 3. Is English right? She doesn't even know. Is English right? Where is linguist? Is this one right? Did I get this English? You did not hear me. In a parabolic... No, sit down. Don't worry. Don't tell me. He's very disappointed in me already. Let's look at John 3. But you understand me, right? I'm sure everybody hearing me will know I'm joking. I didn't mean it. You can create new words, though. English don't even have words again. Do you know? How many thousand words do we have in English? Approximately 6,000, isn't it? What of Greek and Hebrew? So I speak Greek and Hebrew. Picture language. We have about 12,000 words there. In fact, that's the holy language that Jesus spoke. Amen. English is beautiful, but it's not a measure of intelligence. Are we together? All of you that know English, do you know Mass? Amen. It's not a measure of what, but it's good you know English. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because even if you know Mass and speak wrong English, they will laugh at you. Do you understand? So I wanted us to see something in John 3. Can you just rush to that part that Jesus said, if I use spiritual things, earthly things to relate spiritual things and you don't understand Nicodemus, what if I speak direct the words as it is from heaven? Give me that part. Hebrews what? John 3 what? Okay, John 3 from verse 12. Let me see it in the TPT. You have won the victory. If you are unable to understand and believe what I have told you about the natural realm, what will you do when I begin to unveil the heavenly realm? Alright? It's nice, but it doesn't really catch the meaning of what Jesus is saying in this rendition. So let's see it in the NKJV. The NKJV. If I've told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? Now, what the scripture means is that Jesus is saying, I have used, while talking to you, Nicodemus, some earthly things to explain spiritual things. And you are not getting it. What if I speak these things directly like it is from heaven? How will you then get it? Now, what is the earthly thing in this story that Jesus used to explain spiritual things? Huh? Let's start from John 3 verse 1. You remember that Nicodemus came to him, asked some question. One of the first things he spoke about was what? Born again. What did Nicodemus say? Do you mean I should enter into my what? So he had to use that term born again so that Nicodemus will understand this thing in the realm of the spirit. But Nicodemus did not catch it. What is the other word he used there? Water. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain? He still did not what? So he said, if I use earthly things to compare spiritual things and you are not getting it, what if I speak it directly the way it is? So Jesus is trying to make us understand that the reason why he had to speak to Nicodemus in that way was because hearing he will never hear and seeing he may never what? Understand. Because the Spirit of God was not made available. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? In John, I think 16, he said, many things I want to tell you, but he cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth is come, he will open your eyes to the things I had said, and you will see many more things to you. Can you remember?
Yes, sir.
So, is it John 11, 11? Am I right with that scripture, Matthew 11, 11? Seeing they never saw, hearing they never understood, so I had to speak to them in dark sayings. 13, 13. Thank you. Let's see, Matthew 13, 13. In TPT, who said that? Good, good. Win. If you say another one, you win something. If it was a younger person in church, I would have dashed the money. But you are old in church. You are supposed to know this thing. Amen? Let's clap for her at least. Let's give her. Yes. Let the world know we clap for Otis. All right. That's why I teach the people using what? Parables. Why? Because what? They think they are looking for truth, yet because their hearts are what? They never discover it. Although they will listen to me, they will never fully perceive the message I speak. This is quite harsh for them, but let's see it in NKJV. I feel the writer is trying to kind of assume some things. He said, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do know what? Let's just leave it literal. And what? Hearing they do know what? Nor do they understand. Now, see what TPT did. He tried to just make it look like, you know. We know the guys are bad guys. They were stubborn. Pharisees and the rest. But I don't think Jesus meant it like this. Jesus was like, they cannot see. Because it was not yet time. Are we together?
Yes,
remember the disciples asked Jesus a question. They said, when they asked him a question and he explained, he said, to you has been given the understanding of what? The kingdom. He said, but for them, it is not yet time for them to what? Understand. Can you people remember?
Yes, sir.
Can you remember?
Yes, sir.
Even if you don't remember, remember by faith. Hallelujah to Jesus. And that is why Jesus had to speak what? In parables. And here is Jesus speaking to Nicodemus same way in parables. Why? Because seeing he never what? And hearing he never what? That is why he had to use earthly things to explain what? Spiritual things. Amen? Don't sleep, oh. Hallelujah to Jesus. That is why some pastors have to shout to keep some of you awake. But I'm a teacher of the word, so I don't like to shout too much. It's my style. So don't sleep. Are we together? So go back there. Nicodemus did not understand. Question is, anything, born again, second thing, water. Meaning Jesus is saying that there's nothing like water that, as regards making somebody born again, you don't need anything water. Well, I had to use this water, according to what Jesus is saying in 12 of John 3, to explain these spiritual things to you. I hope you get what I'm trying to say. For instance, look at the effect of water. See how Jesus related water through Paul, the apostle, in Ephesians 5 from verse 26. But let's start from 25. Just know that we're not speaking about husband and wife. Ephesians 5 from 25. Want to go? Husband, what? And gave himself for her. Did you see that? Next part of scripture. That he might what? And cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Let's say in TPT. I'm sure they will do justice to this. To make us holy and pure. Cleansing us through the showering of the pure water of the word of God. Alright, so you see the Bible explaining the effect of the word of God using what? Water. Now, if the word of God begins to work on you, it's as if water is washing. It's like water washing something. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? So, is the word of God water? No. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But Paul the apostle had to use something. You know, there's what we call concept. All right? Huh? Concept. You know, when you have a misconception, it's because you use a wrong concept. So he had to use water for people to understand him, not to misunderstand him, so that they would get him very, very clearly. And that's why Jesus used a lot of earthly things to explain spiritual things in scripture. For instance, in John 3, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. So there can never be mansions in a house. Impossible. Are you here? So no mansion for nobody. According to the original in Greek, is in my, now the Bible says, if anybody be in Christ, is what? All of us are in Christ. How big is Christ? That all of us are in Him. So you see, God has a place for each and every one of us in Himself. That's what scripture is talking about. In my Father's house, there's a place for everybody. There's a dwelling for one. Everybody. Are you sitting here together with Christ? Are you sitting here together with Christ? How big is the Father's right hand that we're sitting together? Maybe it's very big. Those days we used to think it's a literal hand. Very, very big. You just put it like this. The whole world can sit on his head. Isn't it? That doesn't dispute the fact that his hand can be that big. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But that's not what it means. Hallelujah to Jesus. Do you get what I'm trying to say? For instance, there's a time he used something in their days. That's why you must understand the history of the Bible. Where was I? All right, you must understand history. To understand the history of the Bible, to understand it better. That's how to fulfill the law of what? What? Hermeneutics. The science of interpreting the scripture. Are we together? So you understand pretest, posttest, history, the time it was written, why it was written, and etc. There's what the Bible talks about in Matthew, somewhere around 16 or 26 or something. Speaking about the eye of a needle. Can you remember? Yes, sir. It said it will be easier for what? A camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And everybody wants to be rich. There's big trouble. Because if what that scripture is saying is what it means literally, then none of us here will make it. We're in trouble. Because all of you are going to school to be rich. Am I lying? Most things we are doing in this world, we are striving to be what? Rich. Hallelujah to Jesus. But Jesus didn't mean for you entering a kingdom geographically. Alright? The eye of a needle in that part of scripture is not literal needle. It was a nickname for a broken part of Jerusalem's fence. And there is no way you can know this thing by doing like this. Speak to me, Holy Spirit. There is no way you see it like that. You can trust the Spirit of God so much. And if you are sensitive, if you believe that. Now, of course, you should be able to sit down and look at how to interpret scriptures logically. How you can sit down, you know, sit down and see how to interpret scripture. Alright? When you have that information that there is a science to interpreting scripture and you are praying, then the Holy Spirit will say, check that word. But if you never had that understanding that you can, there's a science to actually interpreting scripture, you just close your eye. And be doing, shh. That is why some people say terrible things. And they mean those things they saw. Do you know the people that started all of these other religions, they saw things. Spirit spoke to them. They actually truly spoke to them. That's why if you put knife on their neck, they'll tell you, I saw that angel. He said, I should start it. I will get what I'm trying to explain to you. Very important. You see, we come out of encounters, Christians, and they'll be telling you that, you know, one time I heard some people speaking. Now, instead of teaching the word, you know, one very terrible thing about the thing is that it has a time frame. It will exist for a while, then it will stop. All of them will keep quiet like they never spoke about it. The man of God stood up and said, I went to see somebody and the man wasn't available yet. And I waited some hours and the man came out and said, I'm sorry, I was speaking with Isaiah. I said, how that? He said he was speaking to Isaiah. What business do you have with Isaiah right now? When you have the Holy Spirit. Oh, you didn't get what I just said now. The Bible said, now, when Jesus left, he said, I will not leave you helpless. I will send the Holy Spirit. He will teach you all truth, not some truth. Meaning we have what it takes to know all truth. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? The Holy Spirit. So what is What's Isaiah trying to teach me now? You know, if we talk like this, this one is proud. He's proud. How can he say Isaiah cannot teach him? The Bible said, of all men born of women, through the Old Testament, till the days of Jesus, there was none, except for Jesus, of course, before Jesus metamorphosed, there was none greater than who? John the Baptist. Meaning John the Baptist was bigger than any prophet in Israel that ever existed in Israel. And why was he bigger? Because he was the one that announced the Messiah to Israel. Remember John 1, down from 20. He announced the Messiah through an algorithm. What was the algorithm? Baptism, water baptism. He said, on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? So he was supposed to follow that algorithm of baptism, that pseudo call of baptism. He would carry people, put in water, remove them. So he's trying to look for the Messiah. And the day he found the Messiah ended the ministry of baptism. Is the truth. Now, how did I know that? When he did that, he will wash their sin. He will be saying he's washing their sin. But when he saw Jesus, he looked at Jesus and said, behold the one that what? Takes away the sins of the world. Now, if anybody be in Christ, not water, he's a what? Are you seeing that now? Very important. Now, Jesus said, no one is greater than John the Baptist. But he said the least. And the least there does not mean the less powerful. It means the last person that became born again just yesterday. He said he's greater than who? John the Baptist. You see that? So how will I be here now and be waiting for, you know, that's and now leaving that side, we have the Holy Spirit that knows what? All truth. And he's supposed to teach us what? All truth. Look at the effect of the Spirit. Verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 2. It says, the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. 10:3-11. Who knows the heart of a man that may instruct him, but the spirit of that man? He said, who knows the heart of God that he may instruct him? What does it mean? If you put Oche's spirit in Agatha, Agatha will be talking like Oche. Huh?
Yes,
there are people that have met me in town and say, I saw one guy talking like you. I saw one guy talking like you. Why? Because he has constantly listened to the word of God from my mouth. Do you guys get what I'm trying to say? And suddenly, unconscious to him, he's sounding like me. And when they call the name, I'm amazed. It's somebody I know. That's how it is. If you take the spirit of Oche and put in Agatha now, she'll be sounding like a man. She will know everything about Oche. Do you know the meat he stole yesterday? She will confess that she stole the meat. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? There's this movie that used to pull crowd one time in AIT. Was it Second Chance? Can you remember? That, you know, those days in the barrack, there's a way everybody will shout when we're watching. Everybody in the barrack. That time the channels are not plenty. It's only like 5 channels people used to have. But now that channels are too much, we cannot be having that kind of reaction in certain areas. Hallelujah to Jesus. Remember that spirit that entered, the spirit of the old man that entered into a young man? Can you remember? Abi is a young man that entered into an old man. Old man that entered into a young man, yes. He entered into Diego, right? Sebastian. Salvador, sorry. He entered into Salvador. And Salvador started acting like the old man that died. Can you remember?
Yes, sir.
Some of you don't know what we're talking about. You were not born that time. You were not born. Hallelujah to Jesus. The young man started behaving exactly like the old man that died. Thinking like him, talking like him, saying deep mysteries like him. Do you know if you carry this person's spirit and put in this person now, he knows everything that this man knows now. Because the spirit of this person is his database. Are you people get what I'm trying to say? Very important. So the Bible says, who knows the heart of a man but what? The spirit of that man. He's saying the same way, who knows the heart of God but the spirit of God. Then he says, we have received the spirit which is from God into us. Now what happens? What's the implication of this? We know the things that God has what? Freely given unto us. You see that now? We know the things that what? God has what? Freely. Then he said, who knows the heart of the Lord that he may instruct him? He said, we have the mind of Christ. Meaning we know all things. Hallelujah to Jesus. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Very important. You have to believe it because God's report is the final report. Not Joe Biddings' report. Not Joe Biddings. You know, some of you must, you know, there's a way you understand God's word. You don't have inferiority complex again. It's not possible. Obama cannot tell me what to believe. He's too young.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We are the youngest yet. And that's why the Bible says, be not conformed to the system of the world, but be what? Now, I'm not trying to disrespect them. He's elderly than me, but you understand what I'm trying to say? You don't follow the counsel of men. You don't follow the wisdom of this world. You are the light of the world. Say, I'm the light of the world. You are the one that lightens a new path for people. You bring civilization, different kind in different systems. God is banking on you to bring the next idea that will shape that place you are working. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Hallelujah to Jesus. You are light of the world. The Bible says, a city set on the hill, you can be hidden. As you are seated here as a student, you know you must be the best in your class. It's not pride. It's not pride. And if anybody thinks like you, bracket. And if you are bracket, they'll give people the same gift if they have to give gifts. I'm the best in my class. That's how you talk. That is not even a focal point. That is not your life pursuit. It's kingdom. Because of how much you understand kingdom, you just know that you cannot fail. It's not possible to fail. So when you are reading for exams, you are not reading like people that will fail. You are reading like somebody that knows he can't fail. The confidence, the way you read is different, totally different from the world. You know you can't fail before you started reading. You are not reading not to fail. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You don't expect failure. Because the expectation of a righteous cannot will not be cut short. So you don't expect failure. Because if you expect failure, you will see failure. You don't say, I might fail. No. You don't stop at the realm of just speaking. Failure without work is dead. When you say it, you act according to what you have said. I can't fail. Then you read. Because you can't fail. That is why you are what? Reading. But if your faith is not alive, if it's a dead faith, you will not read. Do you get what I'm trying to say? That's why the Bible says faith without work is what? Dead. You believe you want to buy a house. What will you do? Corresponding action. Go and ask about the price of the house. Because if you just believe you want to buy the house without asking the price of the house, how will you buy the house? Like we got our land, the second land, plot of land we just got. I told my wife, I said, I feel we should get all the space of the plot of land there. I feel we should get all. And it was looking impossible. We just bought one, so we wanted to rest. And when we went there and we're talking, the man said, he was supposed to give us 1.5 for the little part of the street they called. And while we're talking, he said, but I know another person that is related to me that has a land there. Why not I give him the 1.5 since I don't have it now? Then you complete the money and own the land. I said, can I see that location paper? When they brought it and we confirmed it, we paid. You see? Now, that's number two. Very soon, it will be everywhere. You know, someone came today and he was like, I didn't know a church is building here. I said, what did they tell you? He said, it's a pastor's house they want to build. I said, oh, they lied to you. Is it church? I said, oh God, what kind of, he wanted to cry. I said, they didn't tell you it's a church. He said, they told me it's a pastor's house. I said, which kind of house am I building in this land? Look at how this land is big. Am I building a mansion? He said, pastor, I've been... Then he wanted to advise me. He said, pastor, but it's not good to to come and do house here where people will stay. He didn't know that I planned to buy the whole land. And he said, the wisdom of God is so wonderful. While we're doing... The Lord told me, he said, write on the wall. I told them to go and write. But we did not write... auditorium. So the people still were able to deceive them. The Lord said, go back and write the proposed site for GCMI auditorium. And the man just walked in. He saw us. He saw auditorium. He couldn't move his car again. Pastor Joseph said, can we collect his number in case he wants to say? I said, leave him. He will call us and sell it to us. it's not wickedness. It's faith, the spirit of faith. It's not built. Now, Don't think that when church come in a place, they wicked people. We don't wicked people. We will pay you. Do you understand? You built for 5 million. I give you 10 million. Did I not try? So how did I do wickedness to you? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Hallelujah to Jesus. That kind of thing, church don't used to fight. Somebody came and said, Pastor, one of them that lied. He said, Pastor, I thought it's a building, a resident house. I looked at him. I said, you were not here when we were saying church. And I smiled. You know, carnal men will be doing wah, 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 in the physical. Spiritual men will just go home and go and sleep. Wake up by 2 a.m. and start doing things will just be aligning in the spirit. That's how spiritual men operate. We don't shout. You see us weak like lambs, but in the night we are lions. We roar like lions. Then when we come out, results everywhere. You know the Bible said, the children of this world are in their ways, what? Wiser. You don't follow their ways. Their ways is physical. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. He said, but they are mighty true God to what? Who says Christianity is not sweet? Who on earth? You know why? That's why I was writing. I wrote yesterday. I said, if you allow this season come upon you, you will really suffer. It is designed to just distract the church. This thing that is happening, God allowed it purposely because he wants to cause a shaking. So that the things which are not eternal will be removed. Listen, if the distraction did not come, some things that are wrong will not stop. We are not saying the distractor is right completely. That's not what we are saying. The Lord give you understanding. Now I speak in parables. And to them that it is given, they will understand. We are not saying the distractor is 100% right. But if he did not do it, listen carefully. There are some people that will still be washing people's feet in church today. Do you understand what I just said? Yes, there are people, Pentecostal churches, that have a special Sunday to wash people's feet. It's a religion to them to wipe infirmities from their life. And you are wondering, if anybody be in Christ, is a what? All things are what? And we're talking about Jesus using earthly things to explain spiritual things. They're water. Do you know some people, because they don't want to, the discipline of not wanting to stay so much and understand scripture. You know, understanding scripture is labor. The Bible says, give double honor to them that labor in the word and in doctrine. Because of that indiscipline, they just rise up and create some kind of religion out of that scripture. For instance, some people feel now you have to work, be baptized in water and the spirit. Now, literally speaking, it looks like that in English. Alright? But if you look at that scripture by the influence of the Holy Spirit, you can't conclude like that after reading verse 12. That is where the light of that scripture started coming out to me. And when I now merged it with John 1, I saw the purpose of baptism and I said, wow! Hallelujah to Jesus. And somebody will say, but the early church in the book of Acts, some of them argued baptism. Yes, they argued baptism. Just like you are arguing baptism. There is no temptation that is not common to men. The way you are arguing is the way they argued. There were some of them that believed baptism should still continue. Meanwhile, Paul came in 1 Corinthians 1 and he said baptism is not supposed to continue. What a baptism. But baptism by the Spirit. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Even in scripture, there were disputes. Hallelujah to Jesus. So you must carefully look at it and understand it. Glory to God forevermore. Glory to God forevermore. Now, if you look at Peter's conclusion about Paul, you will understand to a fair extent what was happening with the 12. Peter said, the things our brother, 2 Corinthians 3:16, I guess. He said, the things our brother, I say, let's see it in TPT. Is it 2 Corinthians 3:16? 2 Peter 3:16. 2 Peter 3:16. Let's read together. One to go. It says, he consistently speaks of these things in all of his letters, even though he writes some concepts that are... Let's see from verse 15 so that we understand better. You are playing well. Don't be scared. One to go. And keep in mind that our Lord's extraordinary patience simply means more opportunity for salvation. Did you see that? Some of you that are just doing yanga, they say come to church. Why God is just still quiet on your case? Because he loves you. If your cup full, and I pray it doesn't full. Just as our dear brother Paul wrote to you with the wisdom that what God gave. You know, there's some person that said Paul's wisdom was not wisdom of God. Did you see that? Did you hear that? Answer me like you heard it. Did you hear it? You are scared. How can somebody say Paul's wisdom? Now, see what the Bible said. Brother Paul wrote to you with the word. Who gave him the wisdom? And somebody said, I don't believe the gospel of Paul. I believe the gospel of Jesus. You simply confuse. Huh? Because what you read about Jesus was written by a man. What if the man was wrong? Is Matthew Jesus? Is Luke Jesus? Is Mark Jesus? And they wrote it and you believe. He said, I believe only what? No, funny. Hallelujah to Jesus. So God gave him the wisdom. And don't listen to those kind of wisdom. From the, you know, the Bible said, if you know Christ, you cannot be tossed to and fro by what? From the wisdom of men. Sometimes men come with their biases and they just tell us what they want us to believe by all means. That is why we have different beliefs today upon the face of the earth. It is based on the biases of men. And sometimes if you are not careful, you become the victims, not even the men. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Very important. You must understand man's nature. Sometimes we can be biased as human beings. That we don't understand something. Instead of admitting we don't understand, we'll just say we don't agree. It is wrong. Then God is making us like a point man, and we lead an entire generation to believe in only what we believe. I hope you get what I'm trying to say. That's what made for all these denominational beliefs we have today. So you must be open by the Spirit. We must be open-minded to accept what the Spirit is saying. Are we together? He said, keep in mind that our Lord's extraordinary patience simply means more opportunity for salvation. Just our dear brother Paul wrote to you with the wisdom God gave him. Now, verse 16. What did he say? He said, he consistently what speak of these things in all of his letters. Even though he writes some concepts that are what? Overwhelming to our understanding. You see that? Which the unlearned and the unstable love to twist to their spiritual realm. And they do to other scriptures. So, Peter is like, let me see this in the Amplified version. The Amplified version. Speaking about these things as he does in all of his letters, in which there are some things that are difficult to understand, which the untaught and the unstable who are falling into error twist and misinterpret, just as they do to the rest of the scripture to their own destruction. What is Paul saying here? I mean, Peter saying here? He's saying that what Paul, the apostle, teaches, they are hard. Some of them are hard to understand. Now, if Peter, the head of the church, tells you that it is hard to understand, that means some sort of the 12, amidst the 12, some are finding it difficult to what? Understand. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So you get to realize that the early church did not easily receive the teachings of Paul. Just like today, when you say baptism is not supposed to be a school of thought, there are people that will fight you because they've been practicing it for a very, very long time. So why do you think the early church will not fight? They fought it too. That's why Paul said, for peace to reign, leave them to do their own. But I don't believe in it and I will not practice it in 1 Corinthians 1. I hope you get what I'm trying to explain. And of course, with the light of scripture this evening, you are understanding why Paul said it is not supposed to be a practice. Because all of us got into water. In fact, while I was on land, I remember one time I said to myself, I said, I've been baptized of the Spirit, but I did not pass through water. I had to call a pastor who was more like a mentor to me in Kaduna. And they took me to River Kaduna. Just the banks of the river. And they took me in the water. Firstly, I complained that it was dirty. He said, "Talk. It doesn't matter. If it's baptism, I should just enter like that." And he entered and they took me inside. And when I came out, I felt like I forfeited all righteousness. Until I one day was reading the scripture. I said, "Oh, shit, man. I wish I didn't enter that river. It was not necessary." Now, there are some of us seated here that were baptized with water yet, isn't it? And we still were doing like we were not Christians. You will still go to school doing a talk any talk you want to talk. In fact, run and go for school party. You go and rock and they'll rock you. Thank you, Lord. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? But Pastor, how do you know that? Why will I not know that? Did I not go to secondary school? Look at how all of you are looking at me. Am I saying the right thing? Very true. You know, one time
when we're born again early, the early days, you know, you'll be wondering whether you should just enter this life or not enter. So we're born again, we're like one leg in, but the world's sweet too. So, you know, the early stage of being born again, you love it. Then like 3 weeks, the devil will be calling you back. Come back, oh, come and enjoy this last part before you go. You know? And the devil began to call our name. Devil, if you call our name, we no go answer. You know? And one day, we were in school party. And I went there with the intention of not dancing. Now, instead of just staying home, I said I will go there, but I will not dance. So when I went there, I sat on the window and I was watching them waste their souls. In my heart, they were wasting their souls. And I was pitying them, looking at them. But the music was making sense. So, listen, some of you will think, Pastor Nainta, I didn't enter. They forced me to enter. But that's not the point yet. I saw one guy that we became born again the same time, going to school of the spirit. We used to call it school of the spirit. I will not call his name. He was dancing with a lady, Jesus Christ. He was, you know that party dance, my God. He did his hand like this. I can never forget the way he did his hand like this. And it was just going. Then I called him. So then I not like, hey! He now left and ran to me. You know when they catch you, you just run to somebody. He said, oh boy, I don't know what came over me. I said, I will talk. He said, I don't know now, calm down. Oh boy, I don't know that what came over me. I just did my thing. There's that guy. Oh boy, I messed up. Me too, I will not dance. Let's sit here. Finally, what happened? He was dancing. I can't remember whether I danced or so. No, do people get what I'm trying to say? Word. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. So, you see, when you became born again with water, you still were doing, you thought you were born again, you still were doing the world. There was one time somebody posted before and after. A young one of their friends were baptized with water. He came out that night, he went to club and celebrate baptism. He went to club. So the friends were very wicked. They now did video when they were putting him water and celebrated him. Then when he entered club, they now did. So they wrote before, they now wrote after and put on their status. Somebody that baptized in the morning is doing club in the night. So you see, I'm not trying to condemn him, but getting into water is nothing. Because Jesus used what? Anything to what? Explain something spiritual. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Very important. Are you doubting what I'm saying? You know, I told the Lord I will really have the patience of interpreting scripture. I'm not in a hurry to shout and just, you know, I will really trust God and I'm trusting it and I'm doing it. That patience of interpreting scripture. There's no need to rush. You'll be teaching. People will just be, you think, it's not about hitting one light and making people shout. Understand the scripture for yourself. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So if you look at it critically, look at John 3, I think it's verse 2 or 3, that speaks about water and the spirit. The word and the sky in Greek. And I say Greek is Hebrew and Greek are picture languages. They have a lot of meaning with just a single word. They can carry a lot of meaning for just a single word. So it was difficult bringing it directly, it being interpreted directly to English. It was quite difficult. A word in Greek could be a phrase in English or a sentence in English. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? So you can even see that even and has a root word. And, common and has a root word, which works like a semicolon. So it's more like a bridge that leads to something else. From one point to another. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Just like you can merge two phrases with what? A semi-word, colon. And it makes sense at the end. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? So that word water, in Greek is, the word and there is kai, which means which is the spirit. It is what which is. Or one of the interpretations I remember could be by. Alright, so a lot of times you look at the scripture and see which word will fit. When the scripture tells you that word and there is kai. You know, funny enough, if you are interpreting scripture, you cannot just go to every word and put kai there.
Are you getting what I'm trying to say? If you look at the scripture critically, what heart will mean in a part of scripture may not be what heart means in another part of scripture from the root. I hope you get what I'm trying to say. So don't just say, well, Simon say, and. So anytime you are reading the Bible, when it comes to and, you say, kai. Do you get? You must check concordance to be sure what word is there. I hope you get what I'm trying to explain to you. So, you see, how do we affirm that this explanation is true? By comparing this thing I've said with another part of scripture. That's how you interpret the Bible. So what other part of scripture did I use to compare what I've said? Ephesians 5 and 26. That speaks about the effect of God's word. He said, husband, from verse 25, love your wife as what? Christ loved the church. And how did he love the church? By washing her by the water of the word. You see that now? Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Are you understanding what I'm trying to say? Very important. Somewhere Paul, speaking to Timothy, explained the effect of the Spirit to being like water washes something. I can't really put my hands in that scripture now, but Paul too explained. So if you see one or two scriptures explaining this revelation, you know that the revelation is what true, because scriptures must affirm or explain other what? Scriptures. Do you guys get what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you understanding me this evening? So this is it. Now in John 1, I've shown you before, but I would like to do it again. John 1 from verse 18. Let's see it. No one has seen God, his essence, his divine nature at any time. Alright, next part of scripture because of time. This is the testimony of John the Baptist. When the Jews sent priests and Levites to him from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? This was his answer. Next part of scripture, verse 20. He said, and he confessed truthfully and did not deny that he was only a man, but acknowledged, I am not the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. Next part of scripture. They asked him, what then are you, Elijah? And he said, I am not. Are you the promised prophet? And he answered, no. Next part of scripture. Then they said to him, who are you? Tell us so that we may give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? Next part of scripture. He said, I am the voice of one. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. Amen. So don't ever say you are the voice of one. All of you here, look at me. You are not the voice of one. It's John the Baptist that was the voice of one, crying in the wilderness. You know, I've seen young boys saying, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. You are not in the wilderness. You are not the voice of one crying in the wilderness. It was John the Baptist that was the voice of one crying in, because he was truly in the wilderness. You are in Nigeria. You are in Benue State. If you want to be the voice of one crying in the wilderness, go to the wilderness. And make sure you are eating grasshoppers and taking milk. Then you are qualified to be the voice of one. In the New Testament, you are not the voice of one. You are the Son of the living God. They are two different things. Hallelujah to Jesus. John was not qualified because of what Jesus has not... He did not see the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So he was not qualified to call himself a son. That's why I say, I am the voice of one, what? Crying in the wilderness. It's a lower realm. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He said, I am the voice of one shouting in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah prophesied. Next part of scripture. Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. Next part of scripture. They asked him, why then are you baptizing if you are not the Christ? Because they know from the Torah that baptism will only happen when Christ comes. The word baptism is from the root word in Greek called baptizo. Everybody say it. Want to go? Baptizo. It means to be completely immersed from something and to come out under the influence of what you have been immersed into. So when you get into water, what's the best way to explain this now? Literally speaking, is water. When you get into water and come out, you are under the influence. Alright? Completely what? Wet. Or soaked with water. Do you get what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. So they know that it is only in Christ Jesus that one can come out a new person. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You get into Christ, you stand up looking exactly like what you got into. Alright? So Paul said, it's no longer I that live after stepping into Christ. But what? Christ that lives in me. He's under the influence of the Christ. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. He said, why then are you baptizing if you are not the Christ? Because they know baptism is supposed to be like connected to the Christ. Not Elijah, not the prophet. Next part of scripture. John answered them, I baptize only in water. But among you there stands one. So he knows. He's looking for that one. He had not known yet, but he was looking. Because baptism was supposed to be an algorithm to find who? The Messiah. And present him to who? Israel. But among you there stands one whom you do not recognize and of whom you know nothing. Next part of scripture. It is he, the preeminent one, who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie, even as his slave. Next part of scripture. These things occurred in Bethany across the Jordan, at the Jordan River crossing, where John was what? Baptizing. Next part of scripture. The next day, he saw Jesus coming to him and said, look, the Lamb of God who what? You see that? Next part of scripture. He was shouting because he has seen the real deal. This is he on behalf of whom I said, after me what? Comes a man who has a what? And has a what? For he existed before me. Hallelujah to Jesus. You see why John was even saluting him in the belly. Can you remember? Next part of scripture. I said, I did not recognize him as the Messiah, but I came baptizing in water so that he would be publicly revealed to Israel. I haven't seen the function of baptism. Why was he baptizing in water? So that he can what? Publicly what? Reveal Jesus. So that is why Jesus had to be baptized. Jesus had to enter into the water because he had to be publicly what? Revealed to Israel by John. So he said, I had to be baptized to fulfill all righteousness. What is the righteousness? To be revealed to what? Are you people getting on trying to explain? Glory to God forevermore. Are you getting this? I did not recognize him as a Messiah, but I came baptizing in water so that he would be publicly revealed. So I can't. John is like, I don't know him, but the reason why I'm doing this thing you are seeing with water is so that one day, as he comes into this water, he will be revealed to Israel. How? Next part of scripture. Everybody read together. Verse 32. John gave further evidence, testifying with what? Saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. Now, let's see this in NKJV so that we understand better. It said, and John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. Next part of scripture. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with what? The Holy Spirit. Remember water and the Spirit at the beginning of John 3? Are you seeing it now? So John, whatever John was doing physically, was a demonstration of what is supposed to come by the Spirit or in the Spirit through Christ Jesus. Now, do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? Do you catch this? Should I explain again what I just said? We are baptizing with water, John speaking for instance. The reason why you are seeing me doing all of these things with water is so that I reveal the true baptizer that will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? More like an algorithm to find him, a pseudocode to find him. That is why I kept on baptizing. But the Lord said to me that one of the ways to finally know him is that when he steps into water, on him, on who the Spirit will what? Descend and remain. So when he was baptizing, he didn't see the Spirit descend and remain on anybody. But for Jesus, the Spirit came in form of a dove. And what? Remained upon him. The Spirit did not come as a dove. He came in form of a dove. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? There are two different things. Alright? So that you don't take doves to be the Spirit in the physical. Hallelujah to Jesus. You know, I don't even like people coming to tell us testimony that they don't know where their certificate is. If you do that kind of thing in this church, you will not come and sing. I remember I heard a singer come and sing, he's telling people that he doesn't even know where his certificate is. What do you mean by that? So that people that are singing like you now can start looking down their certificate? You don't want to walk. What do you do outside singing for God? Nothing. Why will you not charge 5 million? You don't have a job. Even as a pastor, if you hear the things some of us do, if you know, hear the, some of the things we know, you'll be amazed. I was talking to one of my lecturers recently while I was a student. And he was like, he knew it. He knew I'll come back. I told him, I think I have interest in AI. He said, I knew. I knew it. You were saying you want to just... I said, I think I'll just do it before I face fully a topic for the in the pastoral line. He said, he's not surprised. I'm a pastor, but I want to do masters in AI. Why? It's not because of money. It's so interesting. Hallelujah to Jesus. And if I make the money from it, fine. That's how you think as a child of God. Are you listening to me? Are you here tonight? Very important. So I don't want my people to model wrong things. Useless things. Say, I'm full of the Spirit. I'm full of the Spirit. Some things are not popular, but they used to be popular. That's why some of us are telling you we have to go back to base. Mission works. There are people that leave families. They go from cities to cities preaching the gospel. If we keep on emphasizing some kind of things as music, we are making them look like they are losers. They are not losers. That you are not doing it does not mean you are not supposed to do it. Are you listening to me? That's why if you hear me very well, I tell you that we are not just going to America. We are starting from Vandikia. It's not like we are going backward. No. It's not backwardness. Who will take the gospel to them in the village? Who will take the gospel to them if it's not you and I? One time I was talking with a pastor, and he was telling me how that the pastor refused to go to a certain branch because there's no money there. They send you to a branch, and he now decided to break out from the church, that they were being wicked to him. And I asked myself, how were they trained? It's just like the military. The military cannot send you to a place and you tell the military that I don't want to go to that place. There are soldiers in every part of Nigeria today. You are not trained for money place. You are trained for every place. You are a soldier of Jesus. Are you listening to me? Whether you are posted to Sokoto or you are posted to Slovenia, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. The U.S., or Unguru, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So if we say go and preach the gospel in Sokoto, you'll be crying. Your own are finished. Now who would take the gospel there? You are there are some people you cannot even try that nonsense with them, not even try that rubbish. They love Jesus, but not to that extent. Listen to Paul. Read his letters. A man in prison advising people eating rice in their house. Read the Bible. Paul, there were chains in his hand. He was writing and consoling a church with chains in the prison. I read it one day. I started crying. What a man. There was no city that Paul would not enter for the gospel. No city. Stoned almost to death. Come back the next day, see him preaching. And this is what we have turned Christianity into today. People are they are doing dialogue for price on honorium. Thank God for some of our training. You even have mind to tell somebody what they should pay you. Am I saying don't honor people rightly? No. But it is not given to you to do those kind of rubbish. We are copying the world in the name of order and systems. Useless logistics. Don't walk in that path. They may not like me. A lot of them will not like me. And it's evident. They are full of the spirit of the world. They can't like what I'm saying. It's not possible. I'm not expecting them to like me. But I have to spit out the truth of the gospel. Are you here tonight? Am I advocating that you're going to be poor? No. No, that's what, not what I'm saying. Will you be mistreated? No. That's not what I'm saying.
But your eye should not be on rubbish. Else it is wrong. Are you here tonight? Everything about your life should be different. Everything about your life should be different. Everything. Because you are full of the Holy Spirit. Everything. Make sure everything about your life is different. Your speech, your conversation, your jokes should not carry worldly ideas, worldly concept, worldly words. It should not even carry it. For instance, Mama Tinomi, you cannot in a joke say you are poor. It's not possible. You cannot in a joke speak about weakness. It's not possible. You can't talk weakness even in a joke. I'll correct you. Maybe you are joking. You say, who have money in this Nigeria? Huh? Where is the money, sir? I'll tell you, stop that. That's irritating in the spirit. You can't talk like that. Say, Kai, but you know, be firewood. Don't laugh yet. You can't make such a statement. What do you mean by that statement? Maybe you are saying something. You know, say, ah, after all, this Christianity, all of us are human beings. Shall? It's not like you are not a human being. But when you say human being, what comes to your mind? A weak person. When God said, let's make man in our image and likeness, the first thing that came to God is not weakness. Man is not a weak being. It is our self-discovery after the fall of man that made us realize we are weak beings. We are not weak beings. According to God's heart, God's intention for man is a strong being. Man is in his image and what? Likeness. Man is like him and man lives like him. So when I say humanity, I don't mean weak people. I mean a people like God. Are you people getting out trying to explain to you? Very important. So, but for some people, when they say we be all human beings, in their heart, the expectation is that they are weak people. They are weak people. So I'm not a weak being. Paul said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Say, I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, if you settle down for weakness, you walk in sin. There is no way you talk weak like a weak person and not live in weakness, live in sin. No. The Bible says, there is now no condemnation to them who are what? In Christ Jesus. In the original, this is what it means. There is no probability of condemnation. What is condemnation? You sinned and now say, you sinned. You are not supposed to sin. Alright? Somebody having the potency, maybe the potency of actually calling you a sinner because you have what it takes to sin. Do you people get what I'm trying to say? For instance now, as long as he's wearing... who is wearing black here? Pastor Ed, stand up. As long as he's wearing black, let's take black for the nature of sin. As long as he's wearing black, he must sin. So there's a possibility for condemnation because he's wearing a nature of what? Sin. Do you get what I'm trying to explain to you? Open that scripture, Romans 8:1. So there's a possibility because he's wearing the nature of sin. And of course you understand that sin is first a nature before the actions follow. Are we together? John 8:1. So now the case is closed. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the anointed one. Wow. But I like the other rendition. Give me the Amplified rendition and the NKJV. Just relate it for me. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, no guilty verdict, no punishment for those who are in Christ Jesus, who believe in him as personal Lord and Savior. But I like NKJV the most. Let's read together. I want to go. There is therefore now, know what? Who do not walk according to what? But according to what? Do you understand? Why is there no condemnation for them? They are not walking according to the flesh. He's not wearing the fleshy nature, but he's wearing another nature. Let's take for instance that the transformed him is Pastor Peter, who is wearing white. Come. So just imagine that he has the black, you know, innerwear or suit whatsoever, and is now wearing what? White. So now he has changed his nature. As long as he's wearing this nature, he has to sin. The Bible says so. Verse 6 of this same part of scripture. Let's read it. Verse 6. The Bible says so. It said, to be carnally minded, but to be spiritually minded. Now the mind of the flesh is death, both now and forever, because it pursues sin. But the mind of the spirit is life and peace, the spiritual well-being that comes from walking with God, both now and forever. So the Bible said the mind of the flesh, which
NKJV said to be carnally minded. He said, pursues only sin. Meaning this nature only wants to sin. It's longing for sin alone. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Why is he longing for sin alone? Because he's wearing a wrong nature. When he removes the nature, he'll be longing for righteousness alone. Righteous living alone. Do you get what I'm trying to say? So the problem is not him. The problem is the nature he is wearing. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And how do you wear the nature? To be carnally minded. Meaning to see yourself just as a carnal man, a normal man. The Bible says death. It's about to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Do you understand what this means? Yes. Meaning in my heart, in my consciousness, I'm not carnal. I'm not a normal human being. I'm spiritually minded. Meaning I am like Christ Jesus. This is what it means to be spiritually minded. Being conscious of my place in the spirit. Let's see the TBT rendition. It says, just the TBT. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset controlled by the spirit finds life and peace. Mindset. How you see yourself. Just leave it at the NKJV or in the NKJV. To be carnally minded. Carnally minded. Carnal means natural, normal. Seeing yourself from the perspective of the flesh, calling yourself a mere flesh and blood. The Bible said you don't even have capacity to receive the kingdom as flesh and blood. It said flesh and blood cannot receive the kingdom. It said it cannot inherit, meaning bring the kingdom from heaven to flow upon the face of the earth. Now this is why we are created. And that is why 1 Corinthians 6, 9, the Bible means to say, is that, do you know all form of unrighteousness and sin cannot what? Inherit the kingdom. Why were you created? To inherit the kingdom. That's why you are given this part of your body, this part of your nature called the flesh. The flesh is not your enemy. It is to be fleshy conscious that puts you in sin. But the flesh is not your enemy. What does it mean to be fleshy conscious or carnally conscious? It means to describe yourself from the perspective of the flesh. You are not flesh, you are wearing flesh. Do you get what I'm trying to say? You are not flesh, you are what? Wearing flesh. So if you describe yourself as what you are wearing, you are wrong. You are carnally minded. You end in death. But to be spiritually minded, to know that you are a spirit wearing flesh, is life and peace forevermore. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And what is the good news now? If the spirit that has raised Jesus from the dead, Jesus' body was dead, physically dead. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I say his body was physically dead. For 3 days, he had wounds, painful wounds, bore his hands with nails. The Bible said the glory of the Father, representing the Holy Spirit, came upon that body and brought that body what? Back to life. He said, if that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, are you full of the Holy Spirit here? He said, that spirit will do what? Quicken your mortal body. It will quicken. It will give life. It will impart the life of God to your mortal body. Now, this body is not just some mere flesh and blood. This body can inherit the kingdom. He said, but flesh and blood cannot inherit it. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? But we'll have a new body. And that's why Paul started by saying there is natural body and a supernatural body. He said the first man is the earthly. He said, but the second man is the Lord from heaven. Then he says, as you bore the image of the first man, so are you bearing. Say, so am I bearing. Say it. Says, so am I bearing the image of the second man. Say, I'm the image of the second man. So Romans 8:1 again, NKJV, he said, there's no possibility of condemnation. If he removes this thing and wear this one, there's no possibility. But as long as he's wearing this, there's a possibility. There is now no condemnation, possibility of condemnation to us or in Christ Jesus. Why? We don't walk according to the flesh, but what? According to the spirit. Do you understand now?
Yes, sir.
The nature has been switched. 2 Corinthians, 2 Peter, the Bible says from verse 1, chapter 1, from verse 1. Bible goes ahead to talk about having partaking of his divine nature. He said, then we have escaped the corruption that's in the world. When did we escape? The day we understood or got his divine nature. When we became partakers of his nature, he said we escaped that day. God did not even wait for us to act before he said we have escaped. He said, for we being conscious alone of our divine nature, we escaped that day. Because he's sure that his system cannot fail. That is why the Bible said, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gate of hell has no possibility of touching my church. If you are built on the revelation of Jesus, the Bible says Satan has no chance on you. No chance. And that's why the Bible does not say you are a conqueror. If the Bible stopped there, then it missed it. The Bible says you are more than. Many don't even imagine Satan coming close to you. Don't imagine it. Don't behave like it. Don't think like it. Don't talk like it. Don't talk like it. Don't sing like it. There are some songs that make you feel so weak as a Christian. Don't sing them. Don't sing them. How can you in Christ sing songs like this? Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord. He's not drawing you nearer. The Bible says he will never leave nor forsake you. So you are closer than you can ever imagine. The Bible cannot say you are one spirit with Christ and you are not telling him to draw you. It is not possible. Say, I'm one spirit with Christ. Let's reason it. We say, draw me, draw me, draw me. You feel you are far. It's your feeling. But in the faith realm, you are not far. You are very close. But your feeling will tell you you are far. Say, I'm not far, I'm close. Say, I'm one with the Father. Glory to God forevermore. You don't sing weak songs. You don't sing weak songs. A lot of weak songs, don't sing them. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. Amen. Those days we were growing up, if we misbehave and we come to church, we have this one beautiful song we always like to sing. Create in me a clean heart and purify me. Purify me. Create in me a clean heart so I may worship you. Remember the song? Cast me not away from your presence. Please don't take your spirit from me and renew the joy of salvation so that I... And every time we come to God, we sing the song. Every time. So God kept on creating in us a new heart. Every time. Meanwhile, listen to what he said to us in the book of Jeremiah when he said about the new bed. He said, I'll put my spirit in them. He said, they'll have the heart of flesh and not the heart of stone anymore. But anytime we come to God, we are still with the Holy Spirit, but heart of stone. We still have heart of stone. That's why I said, create in us a new heart. We must come with faith. I have a new heart. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Pastor Simon is in the Bible. That doesn't mean it's a word for you. It was David that prayed that prayer. He was not filled with the Holy Spirit. He had the Spirit in a measure. You have the Spirit in fullness. And that's what the Bible said, rightly dividing the word of truth. Know for when and for who. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? There are certain words in Scripture that are not for you. There are certain words in Scripture that men spoke. They were not even inspired by the Spirit. They spoke of their own accord. For instance, there's a certain part of Scripture that says, do not be too righteous. So does it mean that it is bad to be too righteous? He said, do not be too righteous. You can't be too righteous. Except he meant for hypocrisy there. Maybe. I've never tried to even understand that Scripture. I just left it fast. Hallelujah to Jesus. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Very important. There are certain practices in Scripture that are not for you today. Certain practices in Scripture, but they are not for you. There was a time in Scripture they were killing animals. It was not like God changed and said, I'm not eating animals again. He never ate them. He was only using those things to teach people the coming of Christ. I hope you get what I'm trying to say. Through the ministry of angels. He never ate the animals. He said, I never delighted in animals, sacrifice of whatever and whatever. He said, I never delighted in them. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain to you? Are you here? Glory to God forevermore. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Glory to God forevermore. So very important. Everything about your life ought to change. Your conversation. In fact, your friends. Hallelujah to Jesus. You know, let me end with this. You will never understand how life can be so hurting until some terrible things happen to you. You may never forgive yourself if some terrible things happen to you that you would have had the power to change if you were in alignment with the Holy Spirit. That's why I cannot bear to not be in alignment with the Spirit of God. You see that babe that is getting you excited right now that you want to just talk to her and spend all your resources on her, and she's making you miss church. Listen carefully. Making you miss church and talk down the things of God. You know, one time I was sitting somewhere in BSU while I was a student, and this young man had a lady come to me. I was hearing them. You know, I can pretend those days very well. I want to hear peace, but I'm not hearing music. But I just want people to feel like I'm not hearing what they are saying. And he was talking and said to the lady, he said, all these boys praying here in basketball court, he said, they are just fools. I hate the religion. I wanted to see why I wanted him to justify why he hates religion. Maybe he would not say, because Christ died for our sin. No, empty head. He was just insulting them. Look at how they are doing that. Rubbish. As if that's what they sent them to do in school. Question is this what they sent you to do in school? To carry a lady from one school to another? So I was just thinking, how foolish. Then he said to the lady, after he insulted them, the lady now said, please leave them, they are just praying. And I said to my heart, this lady will never marry this kind of person. She doesn't even like what he said. He said, just leave them. Why are you disturbing? She was not impressed. He didn't even have transport probably to give her. There are some people that just become comrades, and that was their death on campus. Their death. The day they became comrades in BSU, that's the day they died. They will not start talking again religious system. All this fellowship, I stand up as a senator and I have I have a case against fellowship on campuses. They are disturbing the student. That's not the focal point of the agenda in school. So I am standing and pushing a motion that fellowship should be stopped. Comrade Tezungwa. Or comrade Owecho. You see, one time as a student in BSU, one young man became comrade. He came to spoil, scatter our fellowship. We were entering to do fellowship. He now came and said, who are that you people? Remove those things, remove them. I was outside, he didn't know. Remove those things, he didn't know it was us. So I came, I said, hey, come. So he came. I said, what are you saying? He said, I said they should remove. I said, they should remove my things from my meeting. He said, is you that have it? I said, yes. I said, come, let me advise you. I'm not joking. I said, you just became a comrade last week, Abby. He said, yes. He said, you want to die on campus? They should remove God. God wants to do meeting. They should remove it because you came to read book. He said, Pastor, I did not know you are the one. I said, if I'm not the one, now you would tell them to remove it? Jesus said, go into the world and make disciples. You heard one thing. Your father said, come and read the book. It's not like you're actually reading the book. We, Jesus told us that if we enter any system, we should do beyond reading. Do beyond doing that job. We make disciples in the system. So you have two functions. Earthly function and what? Spiritual function. You are not in that job space to only be doing the thing your boss says you should do. As you are doing it, find a way. Allow the Holy Spirit touch people around you. That's what he told us in scripture. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Very important. You are on the earth with an agenda. Say, I'm full of the Holy Spirit. Go back home, influence your friends. Is that easy? You have friends, boys around you, girls around you. Influence them. Tell them you have to be in church. Get them baptized in the Holy Ghost. In Remedias, I baptize every young man close to me. Every young man. Some of them are pastors today. Every young man close to me in Remedias, I baptize them in the Holy Ghost. There were more than 20. We'll just be talking about baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'll chip in the discussion as we're talking. We're going to technical block. You want it? Lift your hands. Take! Under the power of the Holy Ghost. They are praying in tongues. Down to the remedial president. I baptized him in the Holy Ghost. I told you the story. He went back to the remedials. They were not praying in tongues at that time in BSU. Now, I'm sure you people are praying if you're in remedial. But that time, they don't believe in it. He now went and said, if you want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, lift your hands. They lifted their hands. He did like this. Ladies to the ground, boys to the ground. The head of the fellowship came inside and was telling them under the influence of the Holy Spirit to stop it. Stop it. You don't understand it. Stop it. That's what he was doing. And the people were crying and praying. They suspended the president afterwards. He came to me. I said, they don't understand. The day they allow you to come back, do another impartation. When they allow you to come back, he said, lift your hands again. Take all of them under the influence of the Holy Spirit. They became new supermen in the university. You know, you can be a Christian and not pray in the Spirit and still make heaven. Hope you know. But if you don't pray in the Spirit, you will not be impactful on the earth. There are certain things. There are certain privileges. Now, listen, it is Jesus that wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit and pray in other tongues. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If, for instance, you're about to leave your house and your dad told you, Junior, take an umbrella while you are going to school. Because maybe he stayed in that region before and he knew that there was a lot of rain falling in that place anyhow. He said, make sure you take an umbrella. I know what I'm telling you. Or probably take a mosquito net because he's cool there. He knew there's so much mosquito. And you now, if you don't take mosquito net there, will you die? Will you graduate? Yes. But he said, take what? Mosquito net. Now you, out of your stubbornness, you think you don't need it. You went to school. 2 weeks later, your legs are swollen. Mosquito, malaria, everything. Then you now remember the voice of your father. Take what? Mosquito net. You will probably graduate or finish that first semester in peace. But you go back with malaria and the rest. That's what happens when you refuse to receive all that Jesus has given you. It's not like you will not go to heaven, but there are some certain privileges you will not have upon the face of the earth. Except you begin to pray in the Spirit. You can still graduate into heaven. Do you get what I'm trying to say? When you pray in the Spirit, there's no limit to what you can touch in the supernatural. What happens is that you are sharing the possibilities of your spirit when you pray in tongues. The Bible says we don't know how to pray as we ought to. It says, but the Spirit helpeth our infirmity. Oh, let's see it in the TPT rendition. 26 of Romans 8. 26 of Romans 8. 26. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Are you here tonight? And in similar way, the Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us in our weakness. For example, at times we don't know how to pray, or we don't know the best things to ask for. But the Holy Spirit rises up within us to super intercede on our behalf, pleading to God with emotional sighs too deep for words. Are you seeing that? Are you seeing this? What is the weakness? We don't know how to pray or ask for things as we ought to. Now, anybody stand up here. What do you need tomorrow? Ask for it. Ask for exactly what you need tomorrow. All you shout, money. That's all you think you need. Probably there's something you need you are not seeing yet. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Probably the Lord thinks you need a car in the next 3 months. He thinks you need a car. But you don't know. You don't know if you need a car because you are not seeing the success that will come to you in 3 months. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? And you are just quiet. So the Lord is like, you need this thing, but you don't understand. Now, out of your good heart, you don't want to even ask for a car because you are being mindful of the kingdom. But when you allow the Holy Spirit to help you pray, He asks for the things that you need for you. He helped our infirmities with words that are, with groanings that our words cannot express. So you are laboring, but you don't know you are asking for something that, do you get what I'm trying to say? That you actually need but cannot say it. You can't be praying in the Spirit and have cancer. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I went somewhere, they diagnosed me of ulcer. I went somewhere, I wanted to buy a drug. One time I was feeling some pain in my body. I wanted to buy a drug because I was so stressed that day. And when I went to buy the drug, the lady asked me, do you have... No, not buddy. I think something was trying to disturb me in my ear, right? Yeah. So the lady asked me, do you have ulcer? I said, what is ulcer? No, I can't have ulcer. So if you have, you're not supposed to take this drug. I said, give me. I said, I don't have ulcer. Do you know why I took the drug? Because I believe I don't have ulcer. Oh, see, somebody will say, Pastor Simon, have teach me something. Listen, faith is personal. Don't go home now and say, where's that drug? I've learned something tonight. Give me, I don't have ulcer. I'm teaching you my own experience. I've been working with the Holy Spirit, and that is why I was able to do what I did. You don't go back and just try to act it. make sure you rise too with the spirit like that. Are you getting what I'm trying to say?
Yes,
glory to God forevermore. Because I don't believe that I have ulcer. I don't believe I can have ulcer. In fact, I can't have ulcer. The day they told me I had ulcer, I came back and I asked one lady, a chemist, I said, what does it mean to have ulcer? She said, your belly will be paining you. You have to be eating very well. I said, does it mean that you cannot fast again? He said, my brother, you cannot fast, though. I said, that means if I don't eat food for 3 days now, then it will kill you. I said, it will kill me. She said, yes. I said, that means my devotion to the Lord is finished because of ulcer. I was just telling myself, I said, impossible. I have a lot of fasting to still do. It cannot end now. That means I'll just be eating and my neck will be getting big and I can't do that now. I'm too young for that. I have to pray it out. As I was trying to start my car, the Holy Ghost said, speak to it. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. He teaches us all things. I laid my hand and said, oh, sir, be gone! In the name of Jesus, I felt two hands touch me like this. And I felt it leaving my body. That's how it left forevermore. See, this Christianity is very practical. I told you I had an accident one time. I fell and hit my ribs. The sharp edge of the gutter hit this part of my ribs. In the middle of the night, it was 2 days to Christmas. 2 days, 3 days, or 1 week. 2 days, 3 days to Christmas. We're supposed to have a carol that week, Seth. So the eve of the carol, if you observe that eve, I was quiet. I was so quiet. When the thing hit me, boop, my ribs, I seriously felt like I was gone. It was a very deep gutter. So I left by 11:30 to 12. Then I can't remember. I went to look for food to eat because I was very hungry. Thank God I'm married now. If I need food, I just, I need something to enter my stomach. Dear woman of God, help me. Hallelujah to Jesus. But that time there was no help meat. So there was no meat to eat. So I was going to... meat in scripture means food. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. I was going to eat and that happened to me. It means I was lacking something. If you observe, the next year I married. That night, the pain was too much. See, I called this woman of God. Abi, she called me rather. I said, I'm in pain. She doesn't believe that I can be weak. Do you know what she said to me? She started laughing. Pastor Simon, please. I said, Mama T, I mean what I'm saying. As I say I mean it, she started laughing the more. I said, this is how somebody will be dying. And they'll think he's a giant. How can I be telling you I'm in pain and you're laughing? And I said, I mean what I said. Oh, my father, please. I said, hey. Guess what I did? I ended the call. Sharp. She called. I was not picking again. What did I tell God? Only you know what is happening to me now. Please, Jesus. I can't die like this. See, I tell you the truth. I was on the ground for like 10 minutes. Nobody came. People were passing my face. I heard somebody say in TV, he's drunk. In TV. Say, it's Christmas now, he's drunk. Then somebody who knew me saw my face. He said, Pastor! They then told me upside down. What happened? I was just pointing the place. I was just pointing it. They rushed me, look for water, press, tried to take me to the hospital. I told them, take me home. No jokes. They carried me. I'm not joking. And the guy wanted to stay with me. I said, you can go, don't worry. Lord, I saw the hand of the Lord touch me in that. It was literal. As he touched me in that place, the hand removed. I felt a cool breeze. Listen, the next morning is very impossible. As that thing was happening, somebody was whispering to their ear. See, this is what happened to our Okada man that he died last week. No jokes. This is what kills people. It's not pain that really kills people. It's this kind of testimony. As you are hearing it, you say, "Tommy, it is my turn. Lord, I commit my spirit." If not, what is bringing death in that place, Nanda? He was saying it. Untua means I swear. It was somebody. That's how I woke up the next morning. Went straight to base. That's why I checked myself. I told them to check me. Something happened to me yesterday. The man check. He said, "There's nothing there." I said, "Mm-mm. Are you sure it's my report? Check again." The way that thing hit me, there is no way there will be no something in my... I said, check, my ribs would have shifted. He said, if your ribs shift, you will not be coming to this place. So to make me feel comfortable, he said, okay, Pastor, take this pain relief. If you take it, the pain will stop. That's how they... Hallelujah to Jesus. It's not possible. The Bible says none of his bones can be broken. I was telling somebody about the accident I had with my car. I said a hand moved the car. I said, if I explain it, man, you will not understand me. That car was going to hit a hill. One big anthill. And the car twisted and arranged again. And it was about to hit a pole. It twisted again and arranged. He said, how did you stop it? I said, I don't know. He said, why did it not break? I said, I don't know. He said, but I know a hand was moving that car. It was moving the car. Who had the accident? They were asking me who had accident. Because I came out of my car and what paid me was my car. I removed my plenty money. It was mint. I just hide the 500 like this. Went to the side. Sat down on the ground. I was admiring my car that is gone. Scattered in the front. I said, so this is how my hard-earned money is gone? Then I said, we saw the accident. Where is the person? I did like this. I said, check the car. Who is the person? I said, Pastor, is this not your car? I said, it's my car. Then I checked my head. They were checking everywhere. No wound. Rush him to the hospital. I said, leave me. They called this, what do they call these people? They came there. Where is the person? They wanted to carry me one from this side. They wanted to hold me like this. I told him, I'm fine. He said, look at the person who said we should come and carry. He said, it's fine. I said, see, Oga, leave me, I'm fine. I know that. He said, no, why should take you? I said, I'm fine. My neighbor now heard it and ran. He came. Pastor, hey! He started shouting. Pastor, we have to go to the hospital now. Your chest has a fragment. Blah, blah, blah. How can you have accident? You may have not have any injury, but don't think it. There's an internal injury. He said, that's what happened to me exactly. I was just eating food there in the night. I started shouting, help, help. I said, sir, nothing happened to me. So when he drove me home with his car, he told me, Pastor, I'll be watching for you. In the night, immediately it starts. It will start like 2 a.m. Please just call me. I'll make sure I don't sleep. 2 a.m. pass. Early in the morning, we go, Pastor, did it happen? No. Something is wrong somewhere. I said, no, nothing is wrong. I'm fine. None of our bones can be broken. So which kind of people are these? Why do they talk so proud? No, you have to think like that because you are a man. Our ways are not your ways. Our thoughts are not your thoughts. See, but no, the Bible says God's ways are not our ways. He was speaking to the wicked. He was telling Israel how wicked they were. He said, your ways are not my ways. Your thoughts. But who has the mind of the Lord? Who knows the heart of the Lord that he may instruct him? We have the mind of Christ. His thoughts are thoughts. His ways are ways. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, how can I fail? Me, full of the Spirit? I can't talk like a coward. It's impossible. I'm not a mediocre. I only think the best. I only do the best. The Bible says Daniel was preferred above all because he had an excellent spirit. The excellent spirit he had is in the Holy Spirit. It's one of the spirits in the Holy Spirit. One of the functions in the Holy Spirit. He had an excellent spirit. You have the Holy Spirit. An excellent spirit is one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You have the full package. And that is why you're going to be preferred above all. Not so. He said, when the enemy tries to come like a flood, the Spirit of God will what? Reset his standard. We are full of the Spirit. And we are the standard God has set against the enemy. He can't compromise his standard. Upon this rock I will build my church. The gate of hell cannot prevail. It's impossible. You wake up in the morning, I can't be sick. Just impossible to be sick. No. You wake up in the morning, I can't be broke. No. There's no way I'll be poor. There's no way. I'm so blessed to be poor. A blessing makes rich. Ask no soul. Say, I'm too blessed. Shout it out. Say, I'm too blessed. I don't think failure. No matter what. The Bible says, an effectual door has been opened to us. He said, but there are many adversaries. Know that. There are many adversaries. Satan will not just come down. Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
He said, an effectual door. The door is open. He said, but there are many adversaries. He said, but we defeat the devil with the words, with the blood of the Lamb, through the words of our testimonies. Let the redeemed of the Lord. It's not a love to be redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. That's where the victory is. Faith is the victory. Jesus will say in scripture, your faith has made. Now, Jesus has done it, but what will make you whole? Your faith. And how does faith come in? Faith come in by hearing the word. One of the meaning of hearing there is meditation. Another translation means prayer. Praying the word, meditating with the word, brings about faith. Meaning when you stay in prayer, you are building faith. No wonder scripture says when you pray, you are building up your most holy faith. Are you listening to me? And that is why you must be a man and a woman of prayer. This is how to work out the salvation you have received. This is the final bus stop. Are you here tonight? You can't afford not to pray. You ought to pray. It is the only way out. Be on your feet, everybody. We can't afford not to pray. How to walk in the glory? Prayer. You live like sin does not exist. Unconscious of sin. Because you are praying. You are praying. You are praying. This is the difference between now and the parousia. In the kingdom's reign, nobody needs to pray. Everything is automated. But as long as you are men, men ought to pray as they faint. Go ahead and pray in the spirit, somebody. We don't know how to pray as we ought to. But the spirit helped our infirmity with words. With groanings too deep for words. Jabando kabaria tosia balataya. Jamana nabaya karadia cobra gada balataya. Shemana nabaya kondia talarado subrandia kavaya. Janda baba 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 kata talabalia kosa. Yenana baya kora da basandia kalarosa. Faith is the victory. The victory that has overcome the world is our faith. Anamaya konania talarabosa nanenda baya. Shalanda dabara deba konda deba lana. Shema bayana. Hey anamosa nanebalate arabonda nabayaka. Shenna na baya la baba mana na baba baba baya ga baba baba baba. Umma baba baba ela bakado. Shera banado. Shenna na baya konna na baya. E mana na ne. E baya baya mala shenna na ba. E bakado ne banano ne baba ne ha.
Shenna la ba 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 Onda bakota nin bandandemba sanda dadiara posiara bakomba. Shana bakana na na balena na 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 na. Ya. Sharada ba ya kana na ba ya kala liarosa. Omana niana mania toba sanda na neka. Shena malana masona niara bot. Shena baba ya ta. Shewa bakana ne balena na bade. Shena malane. Hena na na ne bakana na de. Hena ma. Hena na na ye. Shana na ba na na de. Bane na de. Hon shana ma ne bakalera ta na ne di arabo. Shana di ato. Di ato na di ato. Di ato na di ato. Dia terra dio cavalia nero sanna bayot sheba ba 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 ba. It's open, it's open. Shela makana deyata. Shela namaya kana dabardiyata. You have opened up the gate. Shela baba yara 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 res. You have opened up the gate. Hey, you have opened up the gate. Hey, you have opened up the gate. Hey, open up the gate. Anda babalakato salaladia balada balagada balagada babababayaga babababababababa. Shena na na maya konde ya la diaros. Shena bala kada baliata. Heya, heya, la basada baka. Shada baba baba ya kada baba 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 la kada bala kada. Honda bala kato bala kada bayaka. Ora baba baba la kada bala kadi ya kanda basala ba. Rapato sokotola na bala kada.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.